Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonniewell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
Yep. Show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. So today coming up, as soon as we get her on the phone, we're going to have Cheryl Chumley on to talk about pretty much everywhere on any kind of college campus or public square there are anti-Semitic riots going on as we speak, except in Texas, where they were dragging them all away. And then at the bottom of that, we're going to have Scott Bottoms, going to shock you to learn that the radical Democrats in the Colorado legislature are now telling Republicans what words they can and cannot use. They're banning words. So
soon will be banning arguments.
That's right. Yeah, that's the next thing. But we do have Cheryl Chumley with us.
Great. Welcome, Cheryl.
Christian conservative writer and author. Hi there, Cheryl. I had a great column in Washington Times that I saw. And, you know, even since you wrote the column, which was like moments ago, practically, there were still more protests, violent, some of them, all across the country, these anti-Semitic protests. And one, I think you just kind of nailed it when, I mean, some of them obviously, I think, are funded by groups like George Soros and things. But you
let her explain her
argument. Okay, well, you were talking about the education system, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's great to be with you guys. I always love chatting with you. And so I've written a couple pieces about this because it's not going away, right? This anti-Semitism on our college campuses is shocking to a lot of people. But if you track Democrats, right, for the last couple decades, they've been sort of laying the groundwork for just what we're seeing right now on college campuses, right? They've dumbed down the public school systems. They've infested the teachers' unions with Democratic Socialists of America. The DSA has actively recruited people to go into teaching because they think that they can have great influence over our youth's minds, which they have. And then these indoctrinated, seniors from high school go on to college where it's just infested by more leftists in the professor position. So it's really no surprise that we're seeing like this railing against all things freedom, which includes Israel, and this cry for, you know, pro.
You get cut off.
Are we there? Are you there? They cut the pro Hamas people cut her off. Hey, Thomas, give her a holler back. There's Cheryl. Oh, okay. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Okay, good. Okay. Okay. Yeah, you cut out there for a little bit. Well, you know, one of the things it's clear to me, because you, and I've covered these kind of things before when I was a reporter, that a lot of these people, because there's money behind it, are shipped in and are paid. But then you get kids, I mean, college students who are just happy to be part of the riot, right?
Not so, being paid.
Yeah, they're not. But
they are being paid.
Well, not. I don't know if everybody's being paid.
Well, most people are being paid. They organize it. They have luncheons. They have everything else. That doesn't just come from people floating out of a dorm room. They're paid. I mean, they did the same thing in downtown Denver when you got punched.
Well, and I was going to say, but then you could see the kids just willingly jump in, right?
No, they're paid. You got to get that part about it.
All right. It's a boat. Go ahead, Cheryl. Don't pay attention to Chuck. No, I'm kidding.
Don't pay attention to me. Don't want to listen
so
to me.
If you go back in time to like the Occupy Wall Street protests, right? It's sort of the same type of element. And there is a paid component here. Look at Columbia and look at the encampments they set up. All those tents are green, right? They're like all marching order, you know, just issued green tents. And so if you start digging into who's doing the funding of these protests, you find out there are several national organizations, pro-Palestinian, Students for Justice for Palestinian Rights, socialists, Democratic Socialists, and so forth, that have been funneling money either directly toward these protesters or through other organizations like the Tides Foundation, George Soros money going through the Tides Foundation to support these protests.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. When I was in school,
No one paid us for anything. I
yeah,
was just kidding.
by and large, the progressive left, certainly the social left, was well represented by Jewish students. I mean, Jewish students were the most prominent voices and often the intellectual leader of these ones. And certainly, through a long time, they were, and they still are, except. They didn't really protest too much when they went after conservatives, and they didn't really protest too much when they went after white males. But now they're going after all the Jewish students, and it's an amazing turn of events. DEI is a anti-meritocracy one, and it does hurt Jewish students who also do well in school, have good grades, have good SATs, and they want to de-emphasize those.
Get rid of them altogether.
Get them all together. And so it's an interesting, where do all the progressives go now? Jewish progressives go now? I mean, they're not likely to want to become Trumpers. So I don't know what they're left with.
Well, it is an interesting point that you raise, because I know that there are a lot of us in the conservative side of things who have wondered about Jews in America and their historic affiliation with the Democrat Party, which
And
on one hand,
leftists,
well, on one hand, you can sort of understand, because Israel, if you go back in time, was founded on socialist type ideals. And
yes,
so there,
kibbutzes and everything else, yeah.
exactly. So there is that sort of, undercurrent. But at the same time, if you look at this Democrat Party the last few years, beginning with Barack Obama and continuing under Joe Biden, it's just hostile to Jewish interests, including Israel. So hopefully October 7th in Israel was maybe a wake-up call for some progressive-minded Jews. And what's taking place on college campuses in America, if it's not an eye-opener for them, shame on them.
Yeah.
Well, and one thing I've noticed too, and again, as you guys have pointed out, that these things are very well funded and orchestrated, so I'm sure this is no accident. It shifted from being pro-Palestinian to just openly and violently anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish student. It's not like, oh, we're just poor Palestinians, the poor oppressed Palestinians. Now we hate and we want to kill Jewish students. How did that come about? And because to me, that's really dangerous, how easily and how quickly that turned.
I think that was always part and parcel of the plan of some, right? They were just biding their time, joining into these protests, because you know how protests go, right? They start out maybe with one thing and then they morph into something else, especially when it's a Democrat or leftist fueled protest. There are always more than one agenda at play. And so I think some of those anti-Semitic, vicious forces were waiting for the right time for the narratives to start shifting in the media, and they join into what's going on in the college campus and sort of inject, their ideology. And maybe it's not everybody, for instance, on Columbia University right now who is a raging anti-Semite in among these protesters, but there are enough of them making the news that the entire group gets sort of cast that way, and rightly so, really.
Well, yeah, you're not allowed to. You're part of that group. Go, wait a minute, that's a little, no. You're in a mob, and a mob psychology takes no
So
exceptions.
in
Yeah.
London, there was a man who was Jewish, and looked Jewish, apparently,
What a Hanukkah.
and was going to go to one of the protests, right? And the police said no, they would arrest him if he went, because
He was obviously Jewish.
because
A
of the
new
way he
crime.
looked. And it's be I mean, I said this the other day, you go back just like a year or so ago, when Kanye West, the singer, loses everything, Nike contracts, everything, because he made the comment that all the producers in Hollywood were Jewish. And you couldn't say that. That was anti-Semitic. And now it's okay on college campuses to openly say they should be killed. It's just, and the fact that, and let me ask you this, the Democrats, on the one hand, you got the squad and those guys kind of encouraging this, it seems like. And Joe Biden seems to be trying to kind of have his cake and eat it too. And I don't know how that's going to work for them. How do you break that all down?
Well, politically speaking, the White House did a couple of days ago have to put out a statement. And well, it didn't come from Joe Biden. It came from some deputy of deputy something, right? Some lower level, condemning the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses. But it came pretty late in the game, because this has been going
Well, it
on for a little
also
while
added,
now.
but he also condemned not realizing what the Palestinian people have suffered through. That was part two of that statement.
Yeah, very interesting, right? And so they're still sort of trying to draw these moral equivalencies between the Israeli people, the Jewish people, and the terrorists, which if you look at what these protesters on college campuses are calling for and supporting, Julie, you just mentioned it, it's more pro-Hamas, pro-terror now than it is pro-Palestinian. And I think that was sort of the design from the beginning, though. You know, you sort of see how these things play out, and then you start adding a little bit more fuel to the fire until it's full-blown, as we're seeing right now.
Well, and then you look at, you know, I saw there was a girl, she was banging on something and she was wearing a Palestinian scarf and she was chanting, "We are Hamas, we are Hamas." And I was like, "You're not Hamas. And if you were Hamas, you would be probably back in the house. You wouldn't even be allowed out in public like that. And if you were a gay, I mean, you know, I mean, there's these people that the level of ignorance is also, it's just like, we want to jump on this cause. And I think in a way, that's another part of the underlying motivation here. There are forces there that they just want to destroy America. This is just the latest thing. It was George Floyd, then it was this, now it's this, next week it'll be something else. They just want to create this disruption and this hatred, I think, and keep people on edge, right?
Yeah, which is why I say this is basically a show of the Democrats' own making, right? Because this is how they operate. They dumb down their minions. And so then they use these people, these ignorant sheep, right, to go out there and drum up some vicious rhetoric. And they exploit that for their own political agendas. And, you know, an LGBTQ flag being waved, you know, among the pro-Palestinian so-called protest is ridiculous to me, because they would be the first ones thrown off the rooftops, right?
Yes.
So there's a lot of ignorance that goes on with this, and, you know, it's just being exploited.
Well, and it says something about our education system. I thought it was interesting. Donald Trump was putting out a sort of a policy statement saying that, you know, when he's elected, the way he'll stop this is he'll just start getting, he'll just eliminate the DEI admission stuff. All of a sudden, college kids are going to have to like earn their way, you know, into a college again, and which would require at least some degree, hopefully, of critical thinking. And it, which goes kind of to one of the points you were making.
Ivy Leagues would be 70% Asian.
It does say something about the education system, and it's used, and the teachers are all for this, right? Because they push this. I mean, it goes
well, except for the Jewish professors.
They can't go to class anymore because it's too dangerous. Where do you see this going? Do you see this kind of, you know, kind of just fizzling out, or unfizzling, I guess would be the way to say it? Or I don't know. Where do you see this going?
Well, you know, since yesterday, I've been making the recommendation that a quick phone call to the National Guard would put an end to this, right? Because I don't see this just fizzling out. And here's one reason why. The president of Colombia just issued a sort of drop dead deadline. Disband all the tents, go home, leave the encampments by midnight. And they didn't, of course. So instead of cracking down and sending in a strong police force, right, and clearing these people physically, the president turned around and gave a 48-hour deadline to do the same. So this, you can't, you know, persuade evil, and you have to recognize the evil that is the undercurrent of these protests right now, so you can deal with it effectively before it grows and spreads even more.
Now, I see.
Well, I'm trying to figure out if there are any presidents of an Ivy League school that are not left-wing and feminine. I mean, every president I see now is a left-wing woman. I mean, it's amazing.
Who wrote her own thesis paper.
plagiarized her own thesis paper. I mean, you know, Columbia, Harvard, Penn, MIT. I mean, it's just now Columbia. I mean, just amazing.
Yeah, and the takeaway, if you're a parent right now, it's, you know, save your money, right?
Yeah.
Save your money, go to community college or trade school or find some, you know, Christian school to send your child to. No sense going to Ivy League.
Yeah, no. You're not the only one who's saying that. I mean, there were a couple articles in the paper today of people saying, you're going to spend $120,000 to send your kid.
And it's too dangerous to go to class, so you have to actually take it online.
Take it online, and what they'll teach you is garbage. And nobody wants to employ you these days. Somebody says, I'm from Columbia. Oh, good. Yeah, great. Yeah, wonderful.
See this, Cheryl, because I think this is yet one of the other kind of red pill events to a certain extent, particularly the shift from being, you know, pro-Palestinian, because that's been manipulated for years. But all of a sudden, I mean, I think if I'm sort of the quintessential white suburban soccer mom, and I'm like, well, I feel sorry for those Palestinians. You can kind of see pro-Palestinians, but it's another thing when they're saying kill Jewish people, right? I mean, that's a whole other line.
Well, there was one Jewish intellectual who kept on demanding, we're not white. No, we're not white. Quit calling us that. We're not white.
I mean, but I see this as another kind of event that wakes people up as to what the Democrat Party is all about. How do you see that?
Well, I hope it wakes people up. I mean, you know, that's the big question, right? Because you just had Chuck Schumer, 3 weeks ago, calling for the ouster of Benjamin Netanyahu because Bibi is leading his nation to eradicate Hamas and go after the terrorists, right? Which is a good war to make. What right. Israel is fighting against is what is America's enemies too, because the chance is death to Israel, death to America, right?
Right.
So when you have Chuck Schumer, who is the highest ranking Jewish guy, right, in politics, right, coming out and publicly saying that, that's sort of the rubber stamp to allow these protesters to go forth, right, and spread, right, which is what they're doing. And, you know, the end game here has to be that the Democrats themselves as a party start cracking down on this, because first off, politically, it looks good for, you know, conservatives, right?
Right.
Democrats are going to have a hard time bouncing back from this by November. But on the other side of things, we don't want Democrats supporting, you know, anti-Semitism. That's not good for America. That's not a good look at all.
No, exactly.
What I thought the greatest thing of projection, the Speaker of the House demanded that the Columbia president resign because that person was weak and ineffectual. It's like, wow. Wow, and you're what?
Yeah, it was a good thing Mike Johnson came out and said that. And the president of Columbia is weak and ineffectual.
But so is he.
Right?
But so is Mike Johnson.
But
something. At least, you know what I find ironic is, on the one hand, so the president today signed that $1 billion aid package where money. So we're going to send money to Israel to help them. In the meantime, though, we've been funding Hamas and Syria and, you know, Iran. And I mean, so we're like, it's just this circular. So we give money to the terrorists, then we have to give money to Israel to fight the terrorists, and everybody's making money. You know,
and it's all coming back to the United States through Bitcoin or something to the political parties.
But you just look at it.
Nothing actually goes to, you know, the troops in Ukraine.
But and I sometimes think if you were, I don't know, to come back to Earth, you know, 500 years from now, and you were to try to explain this to somebody, they would be like, are you people just all crazy? But I think that's what the Democrats want. I think that's what the Progressive Democrat Party wants, is for everything to be crazy.
Well, look at their lead, right? Look at Joe Biden. Explain that to me.
How
someone of his mental incapacity can stay president and be run by the party for a second term. Talking about looking back 500 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's baffling now. Never.
Let alone try to explain it.
Remember, the French Revolution took place in 1789, and by 1791, they were guillotining people, so it doesn't take long for things to go incredibly bad. The first reforms, we need more middle class. And then after a while, no, kill the clerics, kill everybody. You can go fast.
People do have short memories. That's true.
They do. Yeah. They do. Well, let me ask you, because this reminds me of something else too, just how crazy the Democrats are. So we saw with the vote in the House, right, where you had all the Democrat members of Congress waving the Ukrainian flag.
That's good.
You know, and then apparently what Thomas Massie tweeted it, and the House Sergeant of Arms was going to fine him.
Yes.
I'm not sure what that was all about. I mean, what
works for Mike Johnson?
It works for Mike Johnson. And finally, Mike Johnson, like a day and a half later, said, okay, I'm not going to fine him. But, you know, that's kind of where we are, right? right? We've got college kids supported by Democrats and Democrat dark money donors saying kill Jewish people. We've got, you know, Congress taking, not spending anything on our border, but sending money to Ukraine and waving the Ukrainian flag in Congress.
Yeah, and $61 billion, just to take that just one step further, right? $61 billion or $68 billion in this aid package going to Ukraine. So Ukraine can protect its borders. At the same time, Democrats who voted for it don't want America to protect our borders. So, yeah, it's curiouser and curiouser, as, you know, Alice in Wonderland goes, right?
It really is.
Exactly. Really is. Hey, well, listen, Cheryl, a final question for you, and that is, I know you've got a podcast, you write for the Washington Times. Where can folks find all your stuff and keep up with you?
Thank you. Of course, at WashingtonTimes.com, but also at my Substack, Cheryl Chumley or CherylChumley.com. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks
your comments
on
the website. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thank you there. Cheryl Chumley there. It is insane. And I think she's right. And you're right. And I'm right.
There you go.
It's everybody's not, everyone's right, except for the Democrats. It's not going to end, right? They're going to, I guess it'll go on until finally someday, I don't know, maybe it'll get too hot or somebody will get to the George Soros people and say, hey, this is hurting us.
Napoleon comes.
You know, when this from James, I wish there was some way we could direct their anger to support conservative principles. Here's why this won't work. That won't work, though, James, because conservative principles are, you know, critical thinking, independent thinking, less government. These are people who I think a lot of them are paid, like you said, and are just corrupt. But I think a lot of them are just followers, right? And they just want to follow whatever. So if all their friends are going out and camping at that thing and smoking pot and doing mushrooms, then they want to do that too. And if they do so, they have to like wear a little Palestinian scarf and shout death to, you know, from what, sea to sea or whatever it is. They're happy to do that. And they don't even know what it means.
From the river to the sea.
Right.
They'll be set free.
And that's the problem. And you know, I think Trump is right that one of the ways you solve this is by requiring universities to, you know, have more standards getting in. And Congress could solve this, right? They could pretty easily tell universities, we're not sending you money until you guys clean this up, until you say that you can't do this anymore. But they,
well, how much
but
money
they
do you think
do that.
Congress members get from all that?
Well, yeah, exactly. So, on that, I did want to talk, but we got Scott Bottoms coming up, like I said, at 3:30. And he's going to talk about, it's just so outrageous what the Democrats are doing there. But one thing I briefly wanted to talk about was I saw sort of like a little Twitter thing going back and forth today regarding George Brockler. He was the 18th Judicial District District Attorney running for District Attorney in the new Judicial District.
And a friend.
I like George. And he's a great attorney, I think. But I got to call him out on this. Somebody was asking him the question about, you know, well, he was saying that Bill Owens endorsed him, which is like, that's not an endorsement, George, but at any rate, it is, but it tells you something. And somebody said, well, what about your stand on Second Amendment? And he's like, I've always been strong supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm the only candidate to have testified against the red flag law. And I'm like, BS flag. Technically he did, but George Brockler.
Well, that's the second one. He's
and
helped
he
draw
a little teeny portion of it.
Yeah, and he's the one who helped draw the coal with. He was down in the well with all the Democrats at the news conference while Pat Neville was sitting there. You doing what?
So a traitor Republican, Cole West, with the help in the Rocky Mountain.
He's no longer Republican.
No, and Taylor Rhodes with the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners has the email receipts where he shows communications between Cole West and George Brockler, right? Yeah, where George Brockler is kind of giving a little bit. I don't think it's fair to say he wrote the bill, but he certainly provided input for the red flag law. Then stood there at the news conference that totally caught the Republican leadership by surprise. I mean, if you're George Brockler, you would think.
Well, and he came on our program and supported it. I mean, and you know, we were just dumbfounded. Just, but I'll give him credit for this. He's learned.
Yeah.
Just deny.
Yeah.
You know, like Joe Biden, I didn't say that. Yeah. Second Amendment, red flag bill. I was the only one who really fought it. I smacked him. And you know, that's not a lie.
And it's kind of like, you know, you read the Twitter comments, and granted, that's not everything, but it does sort of show, I think a lot of times people on Twitter Because I wouldn't be on Twitter unless they were kind of sometimes political nerds, were like, well, is this true, George? I thought vaguely there was some kind of red flag thing.
He's like, no. George Brockler, red flag laws in the 2018, 2019 thing comes thing.
Technically, he's correct. He is the only candidate who tested, but he testified the following year, about a little teeny portion of it.
Yeah, the following year, one little portion of it. But he is the biggest sponsor of it. In 2018 and 2019.
You know, here's the thing. He was very upfront about his reasons why, right? I mean, he explained it. It's like, okay, I get that. Those are your reasons. It's not pro Second Amendment.
It was something about one of the Arapahoe County sheriffs getting shot by somebody.
And I get all that, but it's like, George, either own it, but don't get out there and try to pretend
brilliant.
Well, it is brilliant.
This is much better than copying to it.
Back to some of the comments talking about could we get the college kids to channel? And James says they're ignorant and angry, might as well irritate the left with them. That's right. And then from Stephen, George was for red flag before he was against it. And then Leo, George, red flag Brockler can kiss my ass. Well, yeah, it's just like, he still wasn't against the whole bill. He was against a portion of it that would have said that the gun owner had the burden of proof to prove that they could get their gun back.
Yeah, but he had a choice. He had a real difficult choice.
This time he'd been hammered to death right?
I mean, he could apologize, said I was wrong, I didn't mean it, or everything else.
Or
he could just lie about it. And I think, a politician and left with those two choices will inevitably lie about it. I mean, that's what you want to do.
And I guess I would say technically it's not a lie.
No, technically it's not.
He did testify. He just thought the part that it wasn't just like he supported it, right? If you call them up and said, and he's like, I hadn't thought about it, but I guess my gut reaction right off the cuff is that I think it's a good idea. No, he helped write it. He provided input. He stood knowing that the Republicans in general are going to be against it with all of these other people who held
Cole Whiz, who was the system minority leader.
Right, supporting it. So George, I got to call you out on that,
congratulate you. I congratulate you. Don't let them get you down. Are you going to believe your lying eyes or me? Are you going to believe what you read in the papers? The papers aren't true.
Are you going to believe
it's a lie. Yeah, so I think you got to stay with it.
Yeah, well, exactly. Or just ignore it. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be able to ignore it because I think everybody will be just pounding them on it.
And another thing. Well, yeah, we've had Dagny on our show, and that's one of the things she said.
Yeah, we should have both back on.
She said, look, one other thing. Speaking of hypocrisy. From Leo. Chuck, does a red flag law specific to firearms or arms as defined by the Second Amendment? Like take away a carpenter's hammer or some chef can't have her knife. I think it's just guns.
Just guns. Not any object that could do harm.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, and it could be, as we've seen, I could get mad at Chuck and I could call and say Chuck's crazy, which everyone would agree with.
Yeah.
And then, but speaking of hypocrisy, before we get, and Thomas, let us know if Scott joins, because I can't always see who's all there. Speaking of hypocrisy, so as part of the $95 billion, aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. One of the other little things that they snuck in the bill was the ban on TikTok, right? So TikTok is owned by a Chinese company with ostensibly ties to the Chinese Communist government, which I believe because everyone has ties to the Chinese Communist government.
It's really
in China.
Owned by the two inventors of the software. They own some big percent. Then there are lots of investors in the United States.
Well, and here's the thing. Exactly. So TikTok won't be banned if TikTok essentially sells itself to a U.S. investor. Now, I got to wonder, now, who might that be?
Yeah, George Soros.
George Soros, Jeff Bezos. I mean, I don't know. Now, they're going to fight it, and I imagine they would probably win. But one of the reasons that Congress said, we have to pass this is because China could gather data on the users and could spy on them. Yeah. This is the same Congress that just passed the FISA bill saying the FBI can spy on Americans without a warrant.
Along with all the other agencies.
So it's like, it's okay. So we don't want to ban the FBI from spying on Americans without a warrant, but we cannot have TikTok, a social media app.
Who are you more afraid of?
Yeah.
The CCP or your own government? To me, it's my own government. They've got other problems to worry about over there.
Here's the thing. And China doesn't already have this. I mean, I'm not a computer person at all. But if I were, even I could think of already installing some sort of backdoor algorithm that allowed me to hack into it, right? So if I'm China, I say, I mean, I just think it's interesting. And there's nothing then to prevent the US investor from gathering data on all those kids and selling it back to China, right? So this is in some way, shape, or form, designed to make some American a bunch of money.
Oh, this is to help all Americans. That's what Mike Livingston is doing. That's Mike Johnson, rather, and that's what we are all doing.
There's nothing in there.
They just got that in there just to help us.
Right, exactly. And somebody's playing games somewhere, because as I understand TikTok could also just sort of set up a little TikTok USA thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so then that would be just as well also. But it's just, they mentioned that they've got to sell to an American investor, but none of it addresses, well, who would that be? I mean, and who could afford that? And how could Congress, I mean, you're the lawyer, what if TikTok says, okay, we'll sell it to you, but it's going to be $900 trillion. And somebody says, I can't afford that. Do they get to keep it? Or then does Congress jump in and say, no, you have to sell it for this? I mean, how would that even work?
They'll set up some arbitration panel. Say, what's the fair price for TikTok?
Right. I mean, it's just, there is, that's just crazy. Okay, maybe we have Scott Bottoms joining us. Well, again, just the hypocrisy. And I know, like, Facebook is any better, right? Like, Google is any better? Like, any of the, the FBI is any better?
Sell Mark Zuckerberg to China.
Right. That's what we should do.
For some on some boat heading east or
west.
Yeah,
from James. Exactly. Mention you want a chainsaw in an email, then watch the ads directed on your platform. Exactly. Yeah, right. So it's like somehow if China's doing that, that's worse. You know, if China's gathering data on what 13-year-old boys think of video games or funny, you know, Family Guy YouTubes, I don't know. I think we could survive that way easier than the FBI. Hey, we have Representative Scott Bottoms with us. Scott, a Colorado Springs representative fighting the good fight. So, Scott, if you want to go ahead and say all of those banned words on our show, that's okay with us.
No. We'll bleep them out.
Thank you for your time.
Bleep them out, you know, for the clean it up.
I mean, I thought the Democrats were crazy, but this is what they now have given you, a list of words that you can and cannot say. Is that right? Oh, wait. He's still coming on. Sorry.
You were talking to yourself, Julie.
I'm sorry. Well, I saw him. Here, I can words. These are some of the, somebody had put out a fake list that said Trump, capitalism, communism. There you are. Are you with us, Scott?
Yes, I'm happy.
Yay, there he is.
All right, so explain this. You guys, what, they handed you out a list and said, can't say these words anymore?
Yes, they did. This is not anything new. The only thing new about this particular moment of this was that they actually put it on paper. We've been asking them to put it on paper for the last 2 years. And they've been afraid to do that because of this very reason. As soon as they wrote it down, we've put it everywhere.
Right.
They've been banning our speech for the last 2 years. This is just Marxist mentality of control.
And I assume most of your compatriots have actually complied, knowing Republican
Party. No, they actually stood in pretty much unity. I've seen there've been a lot of unity behind this, right?
Yeah, this is not new for us. So when they make lists of words for us, and they usually what they do is go up to the and there's three or four bad actors that are worse than the rest of the caucus, the Democrat caucus. A few of them will go up and say, okay, we're going to discuss this bill. You know, I moved this bill, whatever. And here's the words we don't want you to say. For example, when they did the drug site bill, where it makes it legal for people to go take illegal drugs and just makes sure that they can be revived. They gave us a list of words we couldn't use, and one of them was drug addict. Well, how do you discuss a drug addict bill without using the word drug addict?
Well, what happens if you say drug addict?
Yeah, what happens if you say it? Or they
well,
bang
I always
you?
Write. I always write down all the words that they say that we can't use, and then I go up and say every one of them because they cannot control our speech. Now, here's what happens: is the Speaker of the House and or whoever the chair is has been given instructions. They gavel us down and tell us not to use them. Now, I want to be fair to our Republican caucus, but some of them are not as strong of personalities, as a few of us, you know. And so they just stay away from the subject, but they still know this is stifling their free speech. But I do it the other way around. Representative Graff, Representative Bradley, we get up there and we just use every word they tell us not to use. And then they gavel us out.
Bones with all the words in it.
Chat GPT do that for you.
He
said, "Well, here's a here's a list of they wrote down. You can't use the word alien, illegal. You can't even say illegal. You can't say that's illegal. I mean, yeah, you know, illegal alien, undocumented alien, invaders, interlopers, squatter, fresh off the boat. What you
fresh off the boat? Who's a fresh off the boat?
They're not even coming on the boat. What you can say is an immigrant without authorization.
Well, thank God.
And a new arrival. And so,
yeah, this is
better.
This is just, and again, this was only on that bill because it dealt with immigration. Right. They do this with many different bills. I got gaveled out and actually was not allowed to speak again because I misgendered somebody and dead named them, which is using their real name instead of a name that they've come up and created. And I was actually kicked out of the well and was not allowed to speak the rest of the day. That is unethical. It's unconstitutional. It may not be a strictly against the rules, but I did sue for this once before 5 months ago, and the Democrats came and capitulated, acknowledged that they were wrong, put it in a bill and changed the bill rather than go through the lawsuit. So they know they're wrong. They know this is not okay. This is Marxist control of the House, but they have more than 2/3, so they can do about what they want.
Well, and, you know, what is their, you know, one of our listeners pointed out that a significant percentage of Democrat lawmakers really weren't elected. They were appointed by vacancy committees, which is one of their game plans, right? Somebody gets elected and then they all bump up and then they just appoint people, which is shocking enough. But what's going on that, I mean, to me, this, if they don't agree with you, this is just a basic free speech right in our legislative process, right? And particularly illegal alien, that's actually the correct, that's what they are legally, right? You're not just, that's not shaming or name calling them. That's the actual legal term. And what is going on that, number one, they're doing this, and number two, they feel so emboldened that they can do this?
Well, they told us this at the beginning of session last year. The Democrats told us that they want to be the most liberal leftist House of Representatives in the entire United States. And they have lived up to that. They don't care what we think. One of the representatives, Hernandez, was standing beside the well the other day when one of our most respected Republican representatives, Rick Taggart from Grand Junction, very, very accomplished businessman, and he was discussing a business bill. And at the end, he said, now, we would like our entire 19 Republicans get on board with this if you guys did this. And he mentioned what he wanted. And Hernandez is sitting right beside him or standing there. And he says, we don't need your 19 votes. That is uncalled for. Now, he was called on it. I heard him myself say it. I was sitting right in front of Representative Taggart. And later he said, well, that's not exactly what I said.
Oh, yeah.
It is exactly what he said. And this is how most of those Democrats think. There's not enough of us Republicans to matter. They're going to steamroll us. But here's what happens is we actually get up and speak truth.
Right.
When we're speaking truth about these pedophile bills and this sexual predatorism stuff and these crazy anti-Second Amendment laws, when we get up and speak truth, they cannot stand it so much that they have to stifle our speech.
Right.
I made a speech last year at toward the beginning of session because they started using Rule 14 on us. It's unethical. It's not constitutional. It's the first time it had ever been used in the history of the House to stifle speech. And I got up and gave a speech called a personal moment of privilege. And I read the definition of fascism. And one of the three tenets of fascism is that you control the opposition's speech and you stop the opposition's speech. And they tried to censure me over that because they cannot stand truth. It is too revealing to them when we say they are in favor of pedophilic bills, and they are. We can prove this. This is not my summation. This is facts on paper, recorded votes, that they prefer predators over law-abiding citizens. And when we get up and speak that truth and it gives us sound bites to put out there, it drives them crazy. So they just limit our speech and tell us what to
let
say.
Let me ask you this question. There are a lot of states in which the Republicans have an overwhelming majority in the state House of Representatives. And what happens, and it happened in Texas, it happens in Wyoming, happened in Kansas, happened in Nebraska. I guess Nebraska has a unicameral legislature, but the small rump of Democrats gets together with kind of, you know, in this case, moderate Republicans, and they dominate the legislature. Why are we not ever able to take those 19 votes and maybe another 20 who are you know,
Frank's a moderate Democrat? Yeah. Are there none?
Well, I would say it depends on how you define moderate. I mean, to me, if you're believing in murdering babies and some other things, I don't know that that's that moderate. But
in
the perspective of what's going on in the House right now in Colorado, there's about five or six Democrats that do vote along with Republicans on certain bills. They do not, they don't like the overreach of the anti-Second Amendment crowd. They don't like the anti-Semitic Palestinian crowd like Epps and Hernandez. And so they do have some sensibleness to them a little bit. The problem is the governor controls that entire House. He acts like he's completely separate. Like when they made the rule about giving information out and making the public aware of what's happening, and he said, well, that's just the House doing that. He didn't have any control. That came straight from him. He controls that House. And so they're not allowed to get out of line. We've watched them do it. The governor will send his guy in there, pull a couple of Democrats out that are kind of going rogue a little bit, and all of a sudden they step in line on the next two or three votes, and he gets them back in line.
Wow. Well,
so I wrote an editorial for the Glendale Cherokee Chronicle talking about the charter school caper and
yes,
how no bill gets a committee assignment unless the governor approves it. He goes through all
300
and so forth. So when three Democrats got an anti-charter school reform bill in, and they got support from all these left-wing groups, and then Polis, just when it's hitting its greatest height, Polis comes in and says, oh, I'm against it. I love charter schools. And then it dies in committee 7-3. But that was all a sham. It never would have got, well, those people knew, hey, your job is to get this bill. It'll be killed, but it won't be your fault. And everybody
and look good.
Yeah, and he looks great. And it works. And everybody, oh my gosh, this is incredible.
He's a libertarian.
Yes, it's a sister soldier moment. It was all bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you another example of that same thing. So last year, Epps tried to run the assault weapons ban. And the same thing that was ran this year. Well, the governor was very much against it because he wants to be president, and he'll never be president if that passes. And so he made it known. He changed some people on the committee and made it known this was going to be knocked down in committee last year because Epps got it through. But here's the thing. Let me give a quick explanation. It's kind of difficult, but what they do is they'll throw a bill into committee and see how the public responds. Mm-hmm. It's just a test case. And when 600 people come to testify against a bill, they go, okay, maybe this is not a good idea. And so the governor will make sure it gets killed in committee. Well, this year, the only guy left on the committee that would have voted against the assault weapons ban was absent that day. The others were changed already. So the assault weapons ban got through committee and got to the floor. Well, what the governor is doing is he's setting it up to go through it already went through the House, and now it's going to go to the Senate. And I think either the Senate is going to knock it down. I hope the Senate knocks it down. But I think what Polis is doing is just testing the waters, and then he'll veto it if he needs to.
Right.
And then he looks good. It comes back to the House and gets passed anyway. But then he looks good.
Right.
But everything that comes through the House is Polis. He is already taking care of it. He's taken care of the people, and it's written the way he wants it to be written. And the Democrats are the ones who's told us that. I'm not making that up. Right. They have told us that.
Well, that's, I like your term there, Polis. Well, I want to show, but you guys, number one, people are saying thank you for the hard work you do. And I want to play, you guys have such a great sense of humor. If people are not following the Colorado House Republicans on Twitter, they should. But there's a clip I want to play. You guys put a little thing out. I'm sure you saw it. So apparently yesterday they had a bill that they were referring to a birthing person. And thank God for Representative Bradley. She ran an amendment to change the language say mothers. And then Tim Hamas Hernandez did a little Nancy Pelosi where he ripped the amendment off after it failed. If we, and you guys put out this hilarious little video on it. Thomas, if we could please play the no decorum soundbite. That's hilarious because, you know, and thank God for people like you. And I'm sure that if you're Brandy Bradley, you got to be sitting there and they're going on about birthing persons. You got to be like, oh God, you know, do I really want to bother with this again? And she does. She gets up and she offers an amendment to call them mothers, right? And I'm sure she's probably done that a million times. Like you say, you get up and you intentionally use the words they don't.
Mothers, you can't have mother.
I guess.
What an awful word.
Say, just so you know, we appreciate you guys doing that because I'm sure there must be some day you're like, you know, I think it's cocktail hour. It's like, I'm going to let Tim Hernandez, and you don't. So thank you for that.
It's not always easy, believe it or not. The way you're saying it is correct. To get up day after day after day and to fight this stupidity. Every day they're throwing a bill at us that made, and I've said this, I think I said it on your show one time, that I really believe that the next thing they're going to do next year is lower the age of sexual consent to 12. This is where they're headed. And so we're getting up
just throwing bills at us. Just for males.
Yeah.
Just for males. Yes, just for males. It's weird how aggressive and predatory almost the entire Democrat caucus is. Hernandez is one of the key guys there. And Epps is too. Epps believes that nobody should be in jail for anything under any circumstance. She has said that on record many times. Well, we get up day after day after day. And there are times when you just want to sit there and say, do I have it in me today to get up and do that? And, but that's where you have to, and we just get up and get back to the microphone and you attack the same stupidity, the same Marxist control, the same predatorism. You just keep attacking it because if you don't, what are you there for?
Right.
I mean, we're not there to win bills. We're there to attack the darkness with truth.
Oh, but and good. Well, and, you know, again, on the plus side, too, you don't necessarily have to rely totally on the Denver Post or Colorado Politics. I mean, again, you guys have a great active and all of you various representatives, too, where you can put stuff out that otherwise nobody would know. Right. And I think that's important. And let me just a couple more questions because we're coming up. I know we're getting toward the end of the session. And typically, though, isn't that where they try to ram through
a lot of good ones,
some of the worst stuff so that you don't have time to, so they can limit the debate and all that kind of, I mean, are there bad things coming our way worse than what we've already seen, do you think?
So most people in the public don't realize we pass about 500 to 600 laws every year.
Wow.
We're working. If we keep with the system they're trying to do, and they're trying to shove about 100, think about this, 100 bills down our throat the next 2 weeks. 2.5 weeks if you move into last week, because that's when they really started. And some of these are the worst of the worst. They're just running them as fast as they can, as hard as they can, and they keep trying to work deals with us that we won't debate here, we'll give in here, we'll do this. And their bargaining is, we won't make you work all day Saturday and all day Sunday. I mean, literally Saturday night till midnight, Sunday till midnight. That's their goal. And they're trying to shove all these bills through. And so then what we have to do is we just have to get back up in the well and fight and fight and fight for hours and hours, sometimes on bills that are innocuous, because we know the next one is very destructive and they're going to limit our speech on it. They've told us this. Right. They're going to rule 14 us and rule 16 us. And again, like I said, before last year, there had never been a rule 14 used.
What is rule 14?
In the history of the House.
Rule
14 says that the majority leader can limit the amount of speech. Well, she can run the motion to limit the speech. Well, they have more than 2/3 of the vote, so they could just vote it in. And they'll say, we're only going to give you 1 hour to speak on this. A Second Amendment bill, an anti-Second Amendment bill, we're going to give you an hour to speak. On a immigration bill, we're going to give you an hour and a half to speak. And there's nothing we can do about it.
Right.
And then on thirds, when we're supposed to be voting, we're all allowed 10 minutes each. And they'll say, no, we're going to rule 16 you, which means no words. You can say nothing except just vote. And they do that to us constantly. Because they are in charge and they are Marxist bullies.
Yes.
And that's why we're trying to get the information out there. But most of and here's the sad part, most Democrats in the state of Colorado do not know what their Democrat Party is doing in that House.
Well, you got a choice. You can try to get it out, the Denver Post, the Boulder Camera, they won't do it. And then you can try to get it on the Anschutz media, and they may give you one small story. Vizek and the editor of Color Politics is from the Washington Post. I mean, the Anschutz media is just, left. It's not quite as far left as the other media, but so you got a choice. You get left or left.
Well, they actually work against us. We'll have, Colorado Politics, Denver Post. I've had them all interview me and do stuff, and they will spin it in such a way that it makes it completely false to begin with, and then they make you try to look like some kind of idiot or some kind extremist or something like that. They are actively working for the Democrat Party to keep what's happening in that House quiet.
But that's being paid for
predator bills.
That's being paid for by Phil Anschutz in the case of Colorado Politics.
Listen.
Scott, we got to let you go now. Thank you.
Yeah, again, hang in there. Hang in. Not too many more days.
Yeah, for coming on the show and for the work that you do. And again, I hope you've seen the comments or people are saying thank you too. So Representative Scott Bottoms, thank you for the work.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Thanks.
All right. Well, Sawyer, thank you very much. Yeah, that's got to be crazy. You can't say, Sam, that would be my thing too. Can't say this word. Are you saying I can't say illegal immigrant? Just got off the boat. But anyway, hey, that's going to wrap it up for us today.
That's us.
That we'll see everybody on Party Friday.
Take care.